This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442 for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our websites, it is cbcg.org or biblicaltruthministries.org. Today is the 11th of September, or 9/11, and this is the, third anniversary of the occurrence of what turned out to be a terrorist attack against the United States of America. And in the 3 years that we have analyzed what is happening with it and talked about it, we just have to realize that there's far more to it than just bringing terrorists to justice or killing them. Because, you see, unless God fights your battles for you, you're never going to win them. And this morning I woke up early to check on the tracking of the Hurricane Ivan, and they still don't know where it's going to go, and everyone is hoping that it doesn't come on Florida again. Of course, everyone would wish that for what they have gone through, but we'll have to wait and see where it's going to go. But I flicked to another channel, and it just happened to be the time 3 years ago that the first plane crashed into the Twin Tower. And I remember that because I was sound asleep. Rochelle called and said, "Dad, go watch TV. A plane just crashed into a building in New York." And I was so tired, I just went back to bed. And she called again after the other plane hit and said, "Dad, there's another one that hit another tower there. You need to go see." And so I turned it on and saw the buildings burning and then, you know, sat there and watched like everybody did. They watched everything that took place. And I subsequently gave a sermon on that and covered that and went through some of the things during the 3 years between then and now, covering why we're going through what we are going through. And so let's look at some of the things concerning, because everyone has missed the point concerning 9/11. Nearly everyone has. And the point is this. Let's go to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. And why do these things happen and why do they occur? And if you would stop and look at all of the things that have taken place, how much this nation has gone through concerning the war, concerning the terrorist attacks, concerning our own sins and crimes and things that have gone on in the world, all of the corporate fraud, all of the government fraud, all of the personal fraud, all of the murders and killing and lying and adultery and stealing and cheating, going clear down to the level of grade school, and so that you can have a better understanding of some of these things. Now then, does God delight in the death of the wicked? Now, Jesus said one thing we need to understand. Lest we stand up and start judging people in a way and say, "Oh, they deserved it because they were sinners above everybody else." Well, the answer is, no, they didn't. Because Jesus said, now, those of you, he said, do you think that those who were killed by Herod and their blood mixed with their sacrifices and put on the altar at the temple were sinners above everybody in Jerusalem? He says, no, they weren't. But I tell you, unless you likewise repent, it's going to come upon you. The whole key in all of this is that people would repent. And the more severe that these things become, the louder the message is for all of the population to repent. Then he also said concerning the 18 that died when the Tower of Siloam fell, he said, you think they were sinners above all people in Israel? He says, I tell you no, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. So all of these things are warnings. You tie them all together. The war, the terrorist war, the crime rate, the false religions, and they're all false out there, from Protestantism all the way down to every one of them, see. And as we will see, God wants them to repent. These things are given so that people will understand that God is greater, that He is in control, that He has given free moral agency, as we'll see a little later, and He demands that everyone choose. And if you choose what is right and follow God, God will be with you and bless you and see you through all of your trials. If you choose that which is wicked and evil, then God guarantees you're surely going to die. So here's the message that he gave here in Ezekiel 37. Now, let me just comment here concerning, not 37, Ezekiel 33, beg your pardon, Ezekiel 33. Let me just comment this way. The collective responsibility of all the churches of God is to preach the Word of God. And no man is to set himself on the wall and say, I'm Ezekiel, the watchman on the wall. However, the message needs to be preached. And if you look at all that claim that they're Ezekiel's, the end time Ezekiel watchman on the wall is pretty crowded. Okay. And the wall is crumbling because they're not really preaching the Word of God the way they ought to. But nevertheless, here's the collective responsibility for the Church of God. And so the whole Church of God, regardless of where you are, needs to repent. And all, as I mentioned last week, all you have to do is look at the journal and see all the stupidity going on in the church by ministers and brethren. And you'll understand there needs to be a great deal of repentance. And please understand, there's one thing that everyone needs to understand. God could care less about your opinions. God could care less about what you believe when you do it on your own. As we're going to see, unless you believe God and obey His voice, as Jesus said, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that your opinions are not opinions based upon your feelings and your emotions, but they're based upon the Word of God. We live in an age where everyone considers, I believe this, I believe that, in society and in the church. Well, unless you believe God and believe His Word and obey His voice, it doesn't mean a thing. And I can guarantee you one thing. Sabbath keeping and holy day keeping, if you are not right with God, is meaningless because God wants your heart. The Sabbath and holy days were given so that you can fellowship with God and that you can have your heart changed and converted. And you can love God and obey Him and love the brethren. Okay. Now, Ezekiel 33 and verse 7. So you, son of man, I've set you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. So this is just like Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Why? Because these are the words that come out of the mouth of God, right? Are these some of the words that include what Jesus said, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Did these words proceed out of the mouth of God? Yes. He said, at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. See, so there's a responsibility. God is saying, here's a responsibility that needs to be done. And if the people of God, the church of God, and the tribes of Israel, as we know to be today, United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, if they are not warned, and this is where the wrath is going to begin to come, we are going to pay the price. And we need to understand that. God says so. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and turning means to repent, to change, if he turn not from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore, O son of man, speak to the house of Israel, thus you shall speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how then shall we live? In other words, just like today, how are we going to survive all these disasters, all this crime, all the sin, everything that is all around us? God gives a solution. Verse 11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Not even the wicked. He doesn't have pleasure in the death of the innocent people either. Just like it said of King Manasseh. He was so wicked and evil and got involved in witchcraft and divination and child sacrifice and setting up idols right in the temple of God, that God said that he shed much innocent blood. So God does not delight in that either. See? Have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Now that's the whole theme of what's going on today here, you see. Now before we get into this a little more, because we are going to talk about the laws and commandments of God, and because what I see happening is the judgment of God against modern-day Protestantism, let's understand a couple things so that you realize when we go through and read these scriptures, though they be in the Old Testament, do not for any minute think that these words only applied to those people back there and that we live in an age of grace. So therefore, we can do anything we want. And that's virtually Protestantism. Let's come to Galatians 3 for just a minute here. Okay? Galatians 3. Because one of the things that the Protestants preach is this. We have been delivered from the law. That is a lie. And believing that, they do not understand what's coming on the world today, and the United States in particularly. Because they think they're a good righteous people. All the good righteous people that gather together on their Sunday, their day, and reject the Sabbath of God are sinning every Sunday. And they are the ones, through their policies and their rejection of God and their self-righteousness, that is bringing the judgment of God upon this nation. As well as all of the sinners. And at least the sinners will tell you one thing. They can see the hypocrisy of all of these self-righteous religious people that claim to preach Christ. and at least the sinners accept each other in their sins without pretense and hypocrisy. All these self-righteous people that go to these Sunday-keeping churches and many in the Sabbath-keeping churches of God turn their nose against them in self-righteous judgment. And of course, we need to avoid evil. That is true. But a lot of them don't understand that they are the cause of the evil. What they're trying to do is avoid the evil, but they don't understand that they're the cause of the evil because they are hypocritical in their behavior. They are hypocritical in what they teach. They are hypocrites to the greatest extent before God because they say they represent God. They say they believe the Bible, and they do not. Now, let's look at this doctrine here. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Here's where they turn. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, we're going to read a little bit about the curse of the law here in just a little bit. What is the curse of the law? Too many people believe that the law is the curse. That's what Protestantism believes, and that is absolutely insanely incorrect. The law is not the curse. Sin is the curse. Because the law contains the penalty for sin, which is the curse. And Christ has delivered us from the curse for transgressing the law by giving us forgiveness through his sacrifice and the grace of Jesus Christ. Not to continue in sin, but to walk in God's ways. Now let's come here to verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now Abraham goes way back before Israel. Now let me just mention, there are a lot of people who think that Abraham was a Jew. Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was a Hebrew. A Jew comes from the tribe of Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 sons of Jacob. There are the 10 tribes of Israel, as well as those who count themselves as Jews. So let's look at Abraham. And let's see what he did, because if you read in the Gospels, you find out that Abraham believed God, that he's going to be in the kingdom of God when some of those who think that they ought to be there are going to be rejected. What Christ said. He said, you are going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and you yourself rejected. And yet they were the ones who were supposed to be the keepers of the law. Yet they were the ones who were supposed to understand about Christ. Now let's come to Genesis 26 and verse 5. Actually, we'll go back to verse 4 because this is very important. See, everything in the Bible from the time of Abraham goes back to Abraham and is founded upon Abraham, and founded upon his belief. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And we also find that Abraham obeyed God. And this becomes profoundly important. Because if we're Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, which shows that we have to live and walk like Abraham. Now, Genesis 26, let's take the, let's go back to verse 3, then we'll go forward. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and will bless you. For unto you and your seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham my father. And it was an irrevocable oath, because Abraham believed God and obeyed God. And today we're the recipients of that. Now notice what he says here to Isaac. And I will make your seed multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto your seed all these countries. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because Abraham, it doesn't say, because Isaac, you are righteous. It doesn't say, because the children which will come through your son Jacob are righteous. It is because Abraham obeyed my voice, and I want you to mark that, because we're going to see this over and over again today. And I want you to ask the question, do you obey the voice of God? Which refers back to the scripture we've already related a couple times. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because Abraham obeyed my voice. Now notice that that is far more important than anything else. Because the voice of God and the instructions that he gives can be more than just his commandments and statutes and judgments. See? So it goes back to the same thing concerning Jesus. Do you believe and obey the words of Jesus Christ? Or do you have a theology which says, Paul gave the greater revelation that we don't have to keep the commandments of God anymore? That is a lying belief. That is a satanic trap. And that is why the judgment is coming upon us today. And that what has created this lawless society that we live in today. Okay, verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, whatever it was, and my commandments and my statutes, and my laws. Now, sometime after the feast, we're going to put out a booklet with a series on Psalm 119. Wayne Stenhouse has been working on that and going to incorporate two or three tapes that I did on Psalm 119. Okay. Which will cover all of these things: my commandments, my statutes, my laws, my testimonies, my precepts, you see. Let's go to Psalm 119 for one thing here, just for a minute. Psalm 119. Here is the attitude we all need to come to. See, because ultimately, you need to understand this. If you believe or have anything contrary to what God's words are, then you don't believe as you should. See, because what the Protestants do, and what many churches of God do, they pick and choose. They pick and choose to do away with certain things which should not be done away. They pick and choose to add a lot of things that come from Judaism and should not be followed, because Jesus said, beware of the doctrine of the scribes and the Pharisees. Your agreement has to be with God. Your belief has to be in God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now notice what David said here. Verse 126. Let's go there first. It is time for the Lord to work. God is working. For they have made void the law. Human beings have always done that since Adam and Eve, correct? Yes. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Now, we're going to talk about commandments today and the voice of God and what he has said. Okay. Now, verse 128 is the conclusion of it. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts. Notice it says all. Not some, those I agree with. Not your opinion about some, but all. All things to be right. Every precept of God concerning all things are right. And I hate every false way. Now let's come back here to the book of Isaiah. Okay? Book of Isaiah. Isaiah 5. Let's see the prophecy of what we have done. Let's see the result of what we have done. Okay? And our former president fostered it even more. When he gave his own definition of what is. And brought plagues upon so many young teenagers that have given themselves over to his practices. And he virtually admitted in his book that he's a double-minded man. He said, I run on two tracks. And yet, look how they just worshipped him in adoration at the convention. Okay? Let's pick it up here. In verse 20, because this is what we've done. This is part of our system of law because of corrupt judges, see. And we also need to understand this. There is no going back to the Constitution once delivered, and the Constitution once delivered is going to prove that unless you really follow God all the way instead of just taking some precepts of God, it ain't going to work. See? So don't take that as that I'm against the Constitution. But what it proves is this. Hailed as the best form of government man has ever created. Isn't it? What is it going to prove? The best that man can do fails. Right? Because they don't follow God. Right? Now, they may follow God partially, but if you're following God partially in your own way most of the time, are you following God? Or are you using God as kind of a rabbit's foot? Notice verse 20. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, we can look at very corrupt evil and say, yeah, that's right, right on, right on. But people do not understand that's the very heart and core of Protestantism. They don't understand it. Now, I have to give a separate sermon on that. But just to give you an example. I was on a plane returning from a trip, and I had one of the New Testaments in my briefcase. And there was a man across the aisle from me, just up one seat in the cross, reading a Bible. And he was reading the Bible all the way. So I thought, well, I'll give him a New Testament. So I gave him a New Testament. And about 3 weeks later, in the mail to York Publishing, because that was the address that was there, was sent back the cover torn off. And saying, you say that you have to be baptized and to have hands laid on. You're a false prophet. You're preaching heresy. All you have to do is believe and you receive the Holy Spirit. See. That is evil. And calling good evil. Yet there he is reading his Bible. Amazing. It blew me away. Verse 21, woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Because there's the way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, right? So if you rely upon your own wisdom and upon what you see and upon your own prudence, God says, woe to you. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink. And we could say, just add in that today, drugs, narcotics. Verse 23, which justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Oh no, you can't have the Ten Commandments anywhere. Oh no, you can't have the Bible anywhere. Oh no, in Canada you cannot even give a Bible to newly sworn in immigrants that become citizens of Canada. Here's what's going to happen. This tells the consequences and the cause. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel, which what? Proceeded out of his mouth. Correct? Yes. See, now's the time we need to think deeply. Now's the time we need to quit playing games. See, now's the time we need to face the reality. Perhaps God's blessing will be upon us if we do. But one way or the other, this generation is on a collision course with all the prophecies in the Bible, and they are going to come to pass. Because Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, we've already covered it, and I've written it in the introduction to the New Testament, but put it in your notes there, Hosea, the fourth chapter, which is, because you have rejected me, I will reject you. And we're right at the point now where God is rejecting his people because they are rejecting him. He's giving many warnings to them so that they may repent. And if they don't repent, woe is going to happen. That's what he says here. Okay. Let's come to the book of Hosea, chapter 7. Let's see what God says. You see, it really doesn't matter two hoots to a whirlwind what anyone may believe or what their opinion is if they don't believe God. You may think you're right. You may even have some good points. But, Hosea 7, let's read what God says. Let's look at the true cause of all of these things. Hosea 7 and verse 9. Here's the cause, and here's the results. So I want you to think about what is happening in America. And I also want to warn everyone, and I'm not the only one who has done it, but we are headed for an economic collapse of a magnitude that is going to be awesome and breathtaking and disastrous, beyond anything that anyone has ever thought of, and is going to make the depression of the 1930s look like a picnic. Now you need to understand that. It will happen. How soon? I do not know. But I beg of you, listen to all the reports and read all the information you can about government debt, all types of government debt, corporate debt, personal debt, and then you will understand the day of reckoning is not too far down the road. Verse 9. Strangers has devoured his strength. That's referring to Ephraim and Israel. And he knows it not. No, people are just going on their way. Right? Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knows it not. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. So what is it going to take for the people of America to turn to God if they would? Now, they are not going to do it. The prophecies make that clear. But what is it going to take for some people in the Church of God to turn away from their own vanity and their own ways and to really get serious about the salvation and doing the things that God wants done? Okay. Verse 11, Ephraim is like a silly dove without heart. Boy, I can say that's certainly true after looking at all of these miserable translations coming out of Britain. Okay. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them, and I will bring them down as the fowls of heaven, and I will chastise them as their congregation has heard. See, so God always gives a warning. God also says, surely the Lord God will do nothing unless he reveal it to his servants, the prophets. It's already been revealed. It has to be preached. Notice what he says. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Not only have they left God, they've run away from God. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And what is the greatest lie that has been given? The law is a curse. So the curse of the law comes because you accuse God that his holy and righteous and perfect laws are a curse. Verse 14, they have not cried unto me with their hearts. Oh yes, when 9/11 came, rally, 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 God bless America, everybody crowded into their churches and everything. But no one really repented. Some people returned to God in a little way. Just like it says there in Psalm 78, they returned to God with flattery. And God was kind to them because he's God. But they have not cried to me with their hearts. When they howled upon their beds and they assembled themselves for corn and wine, they rebelled against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. And boy, I sure saw that when I saw that memorial this morning. Everybody sanctimoniously standing there in this ceremony, very solemn, and we are going to honor the 3,000 or 2,700 that died, whatever it was. And everyone standing at attention, and it's all quiet, and they play their sanctimonious bagpipe music and other music and sing songs. But not one stood up and said, repent! And at the same time, the president and his wife and the vice president and his wife, at the very same moment, and it showed it on the television, the two side-by-side pictures, New York City where the ceremony is going on, and the lawn at the White House there, and here's President Bush with his hand on his heart, and his wife with her hand on her heart, and likewise with Cheney and his wife, and a moment of silence. See, it doesn't need to be a moment of silence. It needs to be days of preaching repentance is what it needs to. And it needs to start with the top of the government, with the corporations, with the church leaders, with the businesses that ruin and destroy and corrupt people. You want to know why the health of America is so bad? You can lay it right at the feet of the great corporations of America that produce the food, that produce the drinks, and in particularly all of the companies that produce sodas. Now, that's just a little aside, to say nothing of the poisons and things that they put in the food and so forth. They didn't return to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Just like a bow. I don't know if you've ever had a bow and arrow. But, you know, if you don't have the bow just right and the arrow just right, and you go to shoot a target, and that arrow constantly veers to the right or veers to the left and misses the target. That's what you call a deceitful bow. Okay? And that's what's happening. You get up there, and they get up there and speak all these platitudes, and what do we have? Nothing but deceit. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. So eventually, it's going to come. Now, let's come over here to chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 11. Because Ephraim has made many altars to sin, altars be unto him sin. And what is God going to do? He's going to take all the false religion that we've heaped upon ourselves, and he's going to dump the consequences of it right in our laps. Without a doubt. Notice, I've written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Amazing, isn't it? The law is a curse. Stay away from it. Now, since we're here in the book of Hosea, let's come over here to chapter 13. And let's see how God looks upon it. And we'll see why. We'll see the challenge that God gave and so forth. Hosea 13, verse 9. O Israel, you have destroyed yourself. But in me is your help. Then it goes on that he would be their king, talking about the return of Christ. Now, let's come here to 1 Kings 11. You might want to ask, why do we have terrorists? And yes, we're dealing with people who are so radical in what they believe in their false religion that they are literally insane. That is true. In doing the things that they do. But let's understand something here. Remember the sermons that I gave on Esau and Edom? Let's go back and look at this pattern again. Whenever Israel sins, which is what happened with Solomon, and we've covered all of that, and all the false religion. See? He ended up being one of the greatest whoremongers in the world by having 700 wives and 300 concubines. And after he built the temple of God, had it dedicated, God blessed him, then what did he do? He built all these temples for his wives and turned his back on God. Now, what happens when you turn your back on God? Let's fast forward this to the end and turn it to the other side, please. 1 Kings 11, we'll be back there. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy 30. And let's see what God sets before every human being on the face of the earth. Okay? Not just to Israel. Every human being on the face of the earth. That's why it says in Romans, the third chapter, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all have sinned. And so the judgment of God comes upon them. There can be mercy and forgiveness through Christ upon repentance, of course. But this goes clear back even to the Garden of Eden. Because the whole test in life is this. Will you obey the voice
of God. Adam and Eve failed, right? And why did Adam have the judgment upon him? More severe than Eve. Now, Eve did wrong and she was deceived and she sinned. That's true. A lot of men like to blame Eve and say she's the cause. No, she was part of it. But Adam's sin was this. God said, because you listened to the voice of your wife. See? Instead of me. Now, if your wife gives you good advice, listen to it. But you can't say that Eve's advice was good. Now, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. Here's what God sets before everyone. No one is exempt. No one on earth is exempt. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, where you're born, what race you are. This is what God sets before everyone. See, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. And then I command you this day to love the Lord your God. See, God wants you to love Him. It all goes back to Him, see. To walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply. And that the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. Wherever you are on earth today, God will bless you. Verse 17. But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear. Hear what? The voice of the Lord God, right? But shall be drawn away and shall worship other gods and serve them. Or as they do today, take parts of pagan religions and crossbreed it with the Word of God and come up with a religion. It's entirely contrary to the Word of God. A counterfeit. Shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. And that you shall not prolong your days upon the land where you pass over Jordan to go possess it. Now, what I want you to do is look at all of the heavy sins of people that are committed in the world and see how many lives are cut short. Many of them. A lot of teenagers, because they break the commandment of honor your father and mother and disobey their fathers and mothers and go out and kill themselves in car wrecks and things, taking drugs and things that they shouldn't get involved with, which their parents never agreed to, or any of that. And you see this ad on television, you know, two girls are going out together, and they get the keys to the car, and they're dressed up very moderately and look like nice, good girls. Soon as they get in the car, go around the block, they take down their hair, they plaster on the makeup, they strip off the clothes that they have, and beneath it they have all of these almost semi-bikini things that they're dressed with, and they're going on out to do their own thing and deceive their parents who trusted them. See? Good example. You shall surely perish. Now, verse 19. You want evidence that this is true and applies to you? Read this. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Are heaven and earth here? Do they operate by the laws of God? Is there night and day? Yes, indeed. Is the earth turning on its axis? Yes, indeed. Is it traveling around the sun? Yes, indeed. Is our galaxy in the universe there? Functioning and operating? Yes, indeed. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing, Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. Now, that's the option. No one has any other option. Blessing and cursing, and it can be mixtures of degrees of it. See? God says, choose life. So what is it that people choose? Death. Choose life, that you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God. Now, is this not New Testament doctrine? Yes, it is. And that you may obey His voice. I'm going to repeat that. You may obey His voice. I can repeat it again. You may obey His voice. And that you may cleave to Him. For He is your life and length of days. That you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. Now what happens when they break that? Let's see an example here. We'll come to 1 Kings 11 again. Now let's come to 1 Kings 11 and verse 14. Now remember, Israel did not go into captivity until 200 and some years after this. Okay? Judah did not go into captivity until some 300 years after this. So how does God start correcting for sin? When you start out with the blessing of God, when you start out like Solomon did with the temple of God, the blessing of God, etc. Okay? When you sin, how does God start correcting you? Now, He corrects individuals, as we'll see a little later. And He corrects whole nations. And sometimes even people who are not great sinners get caught up in the problems and difficulties of the penalty that comes because they're living there. Just exactly like when David numbered Israel. Remember the final thing that came? 70,000 Israelites died because of David's sin. And sometimes people live in countries where it is so sinful that to even try and be a Christian in that country is a difficult proposition indeed. But nevertheless, God still calls you to it, and you're to follow through and obey God, and so forth. Here's what God does. And He does it. And I might mention, this is why Esau was born. Because Esau is Edom. And who are we fighting with the terrorists today? Esau and Ishmael. Now, verse 14. And the Lord God stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite, from Esau. And he was of the king's seed in Edom, a prince. Isn't that amazing? Look at the ones that are with Al-Qaeda. What are they? Some of them were very important people. For it came to pass, when David was in Edom, and Joab the captain of the host was gone up to bury the slain, after he had smitten every male in Edom, for 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel, until he cut off every male in Edom, that Hadad fled, and he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him, and they went into Egypt, Hadad being yet a little child. So here's the whole history. Here are these Esauites, the Edomites, that escaped. And they escaped because God said He would have war with Esau and Amalek in every generation, right? Yes. And they arose out of Midian and came to Paran. And they took men with them out of Paran and came to Egypt unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave him a house and appointed him victuals and gave him land, a sanctuary. Right? Yes. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife, and names her the sister of Phanes, the queen. And the sister of Phanes bare him Gunabath, his son, whom Phanes weaned in Pharaoh's house. Phanes, rather. And he was in Pharaoh's house among the sons of Pharaoh. Verse 21. Now when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers, and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart, that I may go into my own country." Then Pharaoh said to him, "But what have you lacked with me, that, behold, you seek to go to your own country?" And he answered, "Nothing. Howbeit, let me go in any wise." And God stirred him up another adversary, Resan, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, the king of Zobah, and he gathered men unto him. Now, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with a terrorist cell, are we not? Yes, indeed. And became captain over a band. It sounds like Osama bin Laden, doesn't it? Yes. When David slew them of Zobah. And they dwelt, and they went to Damascus. Where did a lot of the Al-Qaeda go? And where did the weapons of mass destruction go? Syria. What is the capital of Syria? Damascus. Nothing has changed in the Middle East, has it, huh? Eh? And dwelt there and reigned in Damascus. And he was an adversary of Israel all the days of Solomon. They had terrorist attacks all the days of Solomon because of his sins against God. So what's happening today? Did Solomon win the terrorist war? Well, he probably had some victories, but did he win? No. No, he didn't, because the cause was not the terrorist. The terrorists were in effect because of sin. And every time you go after the effect, i.e. go after the enemy that's apparent, and never go after the cause, which is the personal sins of the people of the United States of America and the world, you're never going to get rid of them. It wouldn't surprise me to see a new alliance between United States and Russia. And now, together, we are going to conquer terrorism in the world. Let me tell you what all of this is going to lead to. It's going to lead to the New World Order, which is going to be enforced. Because, and as we covered with the Mark of the Beast and so forth, because the only way that they are going to be able to contain this is by becoming more and more militant and bringing more and more control. And sooner or later, it will get down to us because we believe in the coming kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, as you will see on the Day of Trumpets. So that's what happened. Verse 25 again, and he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, besides the mischief that Hadad did. And he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. So what do we have? The same thing today, right? Exactly the same thing. Now let's go back and look at some things in the book of Deuteronomy. And let's see where God lays this out for us. Let's come to Deuteronomy 27 and let's look at the curse of the law. And please understand that the law is not the curse. The breaking of the law brings the curse. And I think it's very interesting because chapter 27 obviously comes before chapter 28. Okay. And chapter 27 deals with the individuals who sin. As we will see, chapter 28 deals with the collective nation of Israel and their collective sins. Because when you have one person sinning here and another person sinning there, and pretty soon if you're not taking care of the sins and not taking care of the things that should be taken care of, then more and more sin evolves and grows, just like today. We are filled with murders, we're filled with adultery and fornication and sodomites, we're filled with liars and cheaters and stealers and idolaters and all of this, and no one is doing anything about it, so God is going to send the terrorist to do something about it. And if that doesn't work, he's going to send, as we're going to see, he's going to send bad weather, upset conditions. And if you think things are bad, it's going to only increase and get worse until the return of Christ. So here's what he says. Deuteronomy 27. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. And Moses and the priest, the Levites, spoke unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken. That means pay attention and listen. O Israel, this day you are become the people of the Lord your God. Now we're going to see there is a responsibility upon them for being the people of God. Question, are we the people of God today? We better be. And if we are, how much are we the people of God? Now notice, because you're the people of God, verse 10, you shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God and do his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day. And we're going to see that there will be blessings that come from that. You know, people who believe in telling the truth say, well, I've learned that if I lie, I have a hard time remembering what the lie was. So if I always tell the truth, I don't have to remember what the lie was to try and cover my base. Would that Wilhelm Clinton and all of the ilk of that kind would do the same thing. I mean, and look, we're down today that people are so evil that they're even forging, creating false documents in their vicious hatred against President Bush. No, I'm not saying that President Bush is an ideal, innocent man. However, God does expect honor to the leader, just as he expected honor to the king. Okay. Verse 11. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. Now, we're going to see that blessing in just a little bit. When you come over Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And all these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites spoke and said to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, here is the curse. The curses are sins directly related to transgressing the commandments of God. Cursed be the man that makes any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and puts it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer, amen. Cursed is he that sets light by his father and mother, and all the people shall say, amen. Now, when you don't take care of the execution of those people, and you allow the curse to continue, what happens? The whole land becomes filled with curses, right? Yes, indeed. Cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that makes the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, amen. Notice how some of these are not related to major commandments of God, but major and minor. See? Cursed be he that perverts the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and all the people shall say amen. You want to know why we are cursed with the judiciary that we have in the United States of America today, and yea, and other countries in the world? Because of this very thing. They're not interested in judgment. They're not interested in righteousness. They're interested in their own political angle. Cursed be he that lies with his father's wife, because he's uncovered his father's skirts, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that lies with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that smites his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that takes a reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that confirms not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. Now let's look at the blessings. We won't read all of them, nor all the cursings. I'll leave that up to you. But it's interesting that chapter 28, which follows along, shows the blessings and the curses. Chapter 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass if... So the decision is ours. You cannot blame God. It is our decision. If you shall hearken diligently, not half-heartedly, not because it's convenient, not because it's going to keep you out of trouble, but diligently. Unto what? The voice of the Lord your God. To observe to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Then he listed all. You're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed with the fruit of your body and ground and your cattle and your flocks and your basket and your store. You'll be blessed when you come in and go out. See, there are requirements to receive these blessings. And so forth. You can read all of it. Verse 13. No. Let's come back here to verse 12. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land in his due season, to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. It's not what it is today, right? We'll read it here just a little bit, and I'm going to tell you it is going to happen. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if that you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe to do them. You shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Correct? Yes. Deuteronomy 8:3, Matthew 4:4, and Luke 4:4. Okay? Which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left hand, to go after other gods to serve them. What is the ecumenical movement today, but to compromise and get everyone to go along with the other religions, and that is a doctrine of Balaam to bring God's curses upon anyone who would do that. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass that if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed in the city, cursed in the field, cursed in the basket and store, cursed in the fruit of your body, increase of your kind and flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. People want to know what's wrong with their lives? They're walking contrary to God. and they won't pay attention, and they won't repent. Then God says, all right, you want it that way? The Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, your hand to do, until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings whereby you have forsaken me. Then he says he's going to send sickness and disease and weather upsets. Do we have that today? What is one of the biggest campaign issues today? Health care. Well, to use a Greek word for dung, that's a bunch of scuballa. Now to learn to take care of their lives, learn how to eat properly, learn how to take care of them. We all have to learn those lessons, don't we? And I'll tell you what I've gone through. I've had to learn some hard lessons that way myself, so I know whereof I speak and whose responsibility is it. It's not the government's, it's mine. See? And be guaranteed. Those kind of things are only going to enslave the people to more evil. Now, how can you fight against it? There is no government health program which can take care of this. The Lord shall smite you with consumption, with fever, inflammation, extreme burning, with the sword, and blasting, and mildew. That's exactly what is happening, isn't it? We have great drought in the southwest, and what do we have in Florida and the east coast? Great floods! What happens after the flood? What is blasting but a hurricane? Tornadoes, right? What happens after that? Mildew! Rot! Is it happening? Before our very eyes, this very minute as I am speaking here today, or not? And your heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is under you is iron. And the Lord shall make rain the rain of your land powder and dust, and from heaven shall it come down upon you, and you shall... until you be destroyed. And the Lord shall cause you to be smitten before your enemies, and you shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And I tell you, read the history of the world, and did God do that or not? Yes, he did. Israel was sent off into captivity. The Jews twice, and they still haven't learned the lesson that if they reject God, they are going into captivity and become a hissing just as it is this day. Now, let's come over here to verse 43. We're seeing this happen. Why do you think we have an immigration problem? Okay. Verse 43. Here's what's going to happen. The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. Is that happening today? Yes, indeed. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. Is that happening today? Yes. Hundreds of billions of dollars are brought in by lending to China and to Japan and to other nations. And remember this, the borrower is the slave of the lender. And I think we're going to see an inflated economy like happened before the rise of Hitler in Germany, of an inflation rate that you can't run down to the store fast enough and have enough money to buy a loaf of bread because the price has changed before you get there. There's not enough paper to print the money, and so what they do, they just restamp it. 100 marks becomes 1,000 marks. 1,000 marks become 10,000 marks. And 10,000 become 100,000. And in order to buy enough food to live for a day, you have to have billions of marks to live. And that's what the Federal Reserve is doing by inflating the monetary supply. And there's no backing to it You're not going to get anything from it, and when it goes, it's gone, and everybody's going to be in worse shape than back then when it happened in Germany, because we are far more dependent upon the stores and the things that we buy and so forth. And if you don't believe that, look at what has happened to the people down there in Florida when they thought they could get out and there wasn't any gas to buy. There wasn't any water to buy in the stores. The food was gone. It will happen. Verse 45, moreover, all of these, yes, he shall be the head and you shall be the tail. So that's on the way. Verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you didn't hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and statutes which he commanded you. Now, is commandment keeping important? Yes, indeed. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your seed forever, because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you. Verse 52. He shall beseech you in all your gates until your high and fenced walls come down. See, if we're not trusting in God, it's very simple. All the defenses that we have and invent are going to be worthless. And the walls shall come down wherein you trusted throughout your land, and he shall beseech you in all your gates throughout your land, which the Lord your God gives you. Then it goes in, it's going to be so desperate that they'll even be eating other human beings. But I tell you what, we're being besieged economically, and there is hardly anything that you have anymore that is made by Americans in America. Let's say the United States, because America now means North and South America. When they say it was made in America, it doesn't mean that it was made in the United States. The Japanese even had a very interesting thing. They had, at one of their islands, they named the city USA, USA. So whatever was produced there, they put on there in English to be imported to the United States, made in USA, and it was made in Japan. And there's hardly anything in Walmart, one of the biggest and most greediest, how shall I say, corporations in the world that destroy people's lives. You want to know what these big corporations do? You watch your town. If you live in a little town, I see it here in Hollister. You've got these money trucks coming in, right? Armored trucks. And what do? They come to all of these corporate outlets and they take the money out of the community and send it to the headquarters to go to New York City and London to make investments to bring down the rest of the country. To say nothing of all the gambling, tell you what, that's another whole topic. I'll get to that later. Okay? Now let's come down here to verse 58, and we'll finish off this section. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, and let's just amplify that. If you won't do it and include the New Testament in it, see? They're written a book of this law that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord your God. Now, what does it say in the New Testament? Every knee is going to bow to Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? This is the same thing. If you're not going to do it, then verse 59, then the Lord will make your plagues awesome, and the plagues of your seed, that is your offspring, even great plagues of long continuance and sore sickness and of long continuance. How many childhood diseases do we have today that are really, that affect them mentally? That affect them health-wise? Oh, yes, the mothers think more of their breast that they won't nurse their own children to give them what God gave them, and they feed them on all of this corporate-produced formula, which set them up for lifetime and life-threatening health problems. Why do you think there's so much childhood diabetes today? Oh, and we have these flowery little ads. This child is sitting there talking and saying, he does this or she does that, whatever it is. And by the way, I'm a diabetic, so they've got one of these little machines that they're advertising. There you go. Now notice. Moreover, I will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt. How many do we have? Well, one comes to mind right now. West Nile virus, right? When you think about what's going to happen in Florida after all this rain and all the mosquitoes, and where is West Nile virus very active? In Florida. And it's even in almost all 50 of the states. The northern states, not so much. But don't worry, it'll get there. Because God promised that it would. Okay? What you are afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you. And every sickness, and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will God bring upon you until you be destroyed. You can put in there whatever venereal disease you want, whatever the other diseases, incurable diseases, blood disease, liver disease, heart disease, eye disease, tumors of the brain. And you think the government is going to give you health care to cover that? I tell you, no, God is not going to, the government is not going to do that. And if you look to them to do that for you, then God is not going to help you at all. God gives you the responsibility to take care of your life and take care of your health and quit eating all of these things which go against the health. Now, I don't have time to go into that, but you're wise enough to get some books and have some understanding and find out about it. And if you don't do it and you end up having all of these things come upon you, well, then don't complain to God. And if they do, then do what God says and repent and change. Now notice, verse 62. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you are as the stars of heaven for multitude, because... And we'll finish here, and I'm not quite half done with the sermon yet. Okay? So I'll do this next week, after trumpets. Because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. That's what God says. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihi, Waihi 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilroe, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, Postal Code CM81
WZ, United Kingdom.